Today is a great feast day, the feast of Corpus Christi, the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ. And a couple years ago, when I was in the seminary, there was a priest that was giving us it was either a day of recollection or a retreat or something like that, and he was telling us about a young, I think it was a little boy in his parish, had maybe 6 or 7 years old. And after the Mass, the little boy comes up to him and he says, you know, Father, how come the host was different today at Mass? And the priest, you know, he didn't say anything was different or anything like that. And he said, well, what was different about it? He said, well, there was like this red, when you held the host up for everybody to see, there was like this red stuff on it. It looked like blood. And so the priest asked him to draw a picture of what he saw. And sure enough, in the picture, you could tell there he had the priest, and then he was holding up, you know, the circular host. And from the host, there were drops of blood that were falling down upon the altar. And this was only seen by this little boy. It wasn't seen by everyone in the parish. And, you know, some may attribute it to the overactive imagination of a six-year-old. But really what it speaks to is, it really speaks to the reality of what we do believe about the Eucharist. That the Eucharist is not, it's not simply a piece of bread. And the cup that we drink is not simply a cup of wine. But it truly is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Because as we read in the second reading today from St. Paul to the Corinthians, you know, he recalls what Jesus said at the Last Supper, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. He didn't say, this is a symbol of my body. He said, this is my body. And when we read that in the light of John chapter 6, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. So when we really think about this, about what it is that and who it is, really, that we are able to receive every time we come to Mass, this is something. It really is incredible. This is my body. When we think about that, the body of Christ, the human flesh, it is in that human flesh that God the Father, from all eternity, he had a plan for us. And as a part of that plan, that even though human beings, even though Adam and Eve, our first parents, sinned, he wanted us to be with him forever. And so what he did is he sent his only Son into the world, clothed in human flesh, to assume a human nature, a human body like our own. So that he could come to us, so that he could speak to us in a language that we would understand. You know, in the Old Testament, people were afraid of God. Every time that they came into the presence of God, or God would appear to them, they would hide their faces. Because they said, who can see the face of God and live? Because God, in his eternal majesty, is so great, is so awesome, is so powerful. It would be completely overwhelming for us as a human being. And we would tremble with fear. But God is a God of love, and he doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He wants to know that he wants us to know that he loves us. And so he sends his Son into the world in a way that is very approachable. Like us, born of human flesh. We think about Jesus, the first nativity. What can be more approachable than a baby? And he grows, and again, like us, speaks to us. But in everything that Jesus says and does, most especially the cross, He is revealing to us the Father's love. He is manifesting to that, that to us in a way that we understand. But then, after the consummation of His sacrifice on the cross, Jesus is taken back up into heaven. But He wants to leave something for us so that we too, in all times and places, could have an intimate encounter with the living God. And so He leaves Himself to us in a way that we can receive Him, in a way that is very non-threatening, in a way that is very approachable. But the reality is still the same. This is My body. This is My blood. When we think about that and we meditate on that, it really is something incredible. That God, the God through whom the whole universe was created, comes to us in a simple and humble form, under the appearances of bread and wine, so that He can love us not from a far distant place, not from outer space, but He can love us from the inside. You know, I've told you this story before, but I think it bears repeating because it really highlights the problem that we sometimes have in believing in the Eucharist. When I was in the seminary, there was one of the seminarians' moms. This was when I was in Philadelphia. She came to visit for one reason or another. I happened to be talking to her in the hall, and somehow our conversation got on the Eucharist. We started talking about that. And finally she says to me, she says, "You don't really believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, do you?" Because this was something that she had been struggling with for a while. And I said to her, I said, "Well, if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be becoming a priest right now. I mean, there'd be no point." And so we kind of talked about it for a little while. And finally I said to her, "Are you having a hard time believing this because you have a hard time believing that Jesus can be that close to us, that can be that present to us?" She said, "That's it exactly. It can be hard for us to accept the love of God, to realize how much God loves us. But this is what the Eucharist is. The Eucharist is the visible sign of God's love. This is My body given up for you." That's how much He loves us. And that can be a hard thing because sometimes we don't feel very lovable. Sometimes when we sin, we don't want to be loved. But His love for us is unconditional. And He is present to us. And He waits for us. But this love, it demands a response on our part. As we read in that beautiful Easter sequence from St. Thomas Aquinas, "Thousands are as one receivers, one as thousands of believers, eats of Him who cannot waste. Bad and good the feast are sharing, of what diverse dooms preparing? Endless death or endless life? Life to these, to those damnation, see how like the participation is with unlike issues rife. We must discern carefully when we receive the body and blood of Christ. Because if this truly is not just a piece of bread, if this truly is the body of Christ, then we must prepare our hearts to receive Him worthily. Now, this is not something that we can do by ourselves. We cannot be worthy to receive Jesus on our own. But God gives us the grace that we need to purify our hearts, to sanctify our hearts. He gives us the gift of baptism, where He infuses His life within us so that we can receive the Son. But then we must continue to persevere in this grace. Because if we commit a serious sin, if we commit a mortal sin, we die interiorly, spiritually. And sometimes people can say, well, you know, Father, it was just one choice. It was just one thing. You know, I still love God. How can one thing just kill? You know, how can that kill me spiritually? Well, go jump off the... No, don't really do this. I'm speaking metaphorically here. Go jump off the Empire State Building. See how many times you can do that. I guarantee you're not going to get more than one shot at it. There are things that we can do just one time that kill us. Spiritually, physically, it's the same. So we need to discern, am I living or dead spiritually? And this is why God gives us the sacrament of confession. So that we can prepare our hearts to be a worthy place to receive Jesus. It's not to humiliate us. It's not to tell us that we're bad. It's so that we can receive God's life. That's what confession is all about. It's so that we can receive Holy Communion worthily, in a dignified way, with love, with the love of God. This is my body. The reality of God's love for us is made present in the Eucharist, because it is truly Jesus Christ whom we receive. Let us always strive to have a greater love and devotion to this great mystery. But then as well, let us respond ever more and more with lives of virtue, with lives of holiness, so that our hearts are always ready and prepared to receive the great gift of God's only Son, Jesus Christ.